Glory to Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us. The aim of this class is to gain the art of spiritual life through the teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius Brancheninov. This study has already transformed many lives, and we hope your life will be transformed too.
In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and ever, and forever.
Amen.
So welcome back after a long time. I think what I mark here, so our last meeting was on March 9th. So it is it's been a long time, and but even this break, I think it was very beneficial in some way for the church, for us, because I think we learn a lot of things. And I think we might share, if you want, in the beginning, maybe what was your experience. And I want to share what is somehow my conclusion or conclusions I made from this time. Those are beneficial, I think, but not pleasant. Not pleasant. I think that for me personally, I had this hope when it started, and in the beginning of March, in the middle of March, I would say, this some kind of tension which was in society among people, and this fear which was from that virus among people. Somehow I had this hope that it might help us to somehow redirect our thinking, that to turn our eyes more towards God, towards of soul. And for 2 weeks I had this optimism that, well, it might be opportunity from God for us to somehow rethink our situation. I think that it was some kind of real situation, I think, in minds or in soul of many people up to Easter. I think after Easter, I think that Easter was that time when we should start to celebrate publicly, just because it was good. I think it was good timing for this, some kind to use this spiritual renewal during Great Fast. But then it took longer. There was a lot of confusion. What this situation means? Confusion, I think, in this news we were getting, and based on our own experience, that we started to have these thoughts about how serious it is. Actually, it is. I think this shift our attention to different direction, and we stop to think about the situation as a impulse for making our life, spiritual life, deeper. And I want to share something. I think that he is right, one priest. He wrote, I don't know if it was his blog or just an article he published somewhere, I don't know that. But it was quite sad. He actually he expressed the same thoughts I had in the beginning, that this will be opportunity. And then he was writing that how disappointed he was. He wrote that he expected like a lot of phone calls, that people will start to take care of the soul and they would be moved to make confession, to put to order their conscience, to prepare for death. I said, well, this danger of death, of disease and death, you know, revealed that we are not taking care, we don't think about our eternal life. That he said that he was disappointed, that he expected more, some kind of wave of those who would make this preparation in a case that they get sick. And he said, and I don't agree totally what he said, but there is some kind of truth there, that he said, it seems to me that we are only playing that we are Christians, that we are understand Christianity as a, some kind of way how to live on this earth across some kind of rules, but we refuse to think that this is just preparation for eternal life. And I think that it is too much generation, like, you know, he puts everything into one bag. I don't think this is so bad, but there is some kind of truth in this. There were a lot of disappointments for me. I think that with dealing with this situation, I don't know, somehow I know that we were not allowed, but there were like strict instructions, but still what I was missing was this banging on the door of the church. I need grace, I need God. This is dangerous situation, and I need to God to save my soul. I would say it this way. I was missing this thing. But as the Holy Father, they say that we can learn from each situation something, and we should use it for good. So I think even this would be should be some kind of good experience, how to expand, how to think about our spiritual life, and to rethink this, maybe to remove these thoughts which came through bad formation or influence of world, to make this understanding of Christian life, of life itself, somehow more clear, to see things with bigger clarity. Somebody wants to add something or to share? What was your feeling these times?
I will. During that time that the church was closed, it made me think a lot about what it would have been like to be under communist rule, and how the churches were closed, that you couldn't go to them. And it reminded me, my mom and dad had gone over to Europe in the 80s, and I think it was before the Communist Party ceased. And at that time, I always remember them, you know, mom asked if they could pray for before the meal, and she says, no, we don't pray. But then she said, well, then sing me something. And they sang Snami Bo, God is with us. And so I think to myself, I don't think people realized how serious it was that the church was shut down as long as it was. Thank goodness that we opened back up, but how, you know, it made me think to myself, is my spiritual life strong enough that I can continue, you know, to try to grow more and more if I don't have the church? So it made me question that a lot.
Well, this was something I was thinking about too, that how easily I would say, I am not making that this virus was not dangerous. But now, it was from the beginning, they were saying about 1%. And they were, in the beginning, they were saying more percent, like it can be deadly, but still even 3%, you have 97% who would be okay. And there was this first instruction we got was that to encourage those who are older, who are sick, to stay home. This was first, if you remember, we had there was one Sunday only when we kept this rule, but then it was like totally. And because, well, this bothered me because what we were doing, we were protecting our bodies, and we put to danger our souls. I'm hearing now, you know, like now after like 2 weeks, 3 weeks of when we serve publicly, that there are many parishes that are like over 50% did not return back. And they don't expect them to return back until there is a vaccine. But the vaccine, you know, there's a mutation. You know that you cannot make perfect vaccine for these kind of things. You can just guess that this will be the mutation which helps. So it is like this vaccine against flu. So it means that then again, there will be this chance you can get sick. So it means you never go to the church again because you want to stay healthy and to die in a spiritual way. That we somehow forgot to fight for our soul. And you mentioned this communist. I remember we had always these pilgrimages in August. Klokoče Ultina was the biggest pilgrimages in Byzantine Catholic Church. And everybody knew if you drove there by car in the beginning of the village, there were like these cops in, not in uniforms, secret police. And they marked like this ID of car, what is the name?
License.
No number, they marked everything. And you never know. It could happen that on Monday, when you are back in work, you can find out that you lost the job. Or when you want to return back to school, you might learn that you are not longer studying there. There was a really threat to like this basic things in life, and people were going. They were not scared. Even they knew that they can have a lot of problems, and we lost this some kind of this courage. I'm not saying to be not responsible, but even now you can see that like churches are listed like when you have this measure 1 to 10, 10 is the worst. So churches has 8, the most dangerous place. I said, well, this is the most, You know, we were going to do shopping, grocery in Acme and Giant Eagle and other places. There was full of people. You know, everybody was touching everything. And people had, well, they were careful there, but still, during the day, how many people went through these stores? And here in the church, when there is disinfection and you can really sit apart, there's enough rooms, there is a good circulation of air. It is like, I don't know, it was, I can understand this very, very much. I think that what was missing is some kind of courage for us. Not courage which is without wisdom, but some kind of like to go against like common sense or something. But I think that everybody could know that in the church, if you wish, you can create very good, very safe environment. You know, and I'm not blaming now nobody. You know, there was like instruction. Your church contributed to this fear or this situation with these orders, God. But looking back, I think that we made several mistakes. And I am thinking now about impact on our spiritual life. And it is difficult. I talked to one priest and he told me that there are several, here at several cases, it's bigger parish, but here are several cases that people probably who need it, like sacraments, they refused his offer to come to give them anointing, communion, even those people very old and they were in danger or in death. They didn't want him to come. And so it is painful to see that well, this fear about body conquered this, and maybe destroyed this possibility to get to heaven, to be saved. You know, and so let's go back to Brianche, you know, and to listen to him, and let's have this hope that he can help us to form our souls in that way, that in future tests we will have more courage, a more clear understanding of what is more important. So we are going to We are going to continue on page 152 in the book, on the last paragraph on that page. And we are talking about prayer. And we started this last paragraph we were talking about. He started to talk about our invisible enemies, demons, who fight against us, and they want to destroy this life of prayer in our hearts, in our souls. So we are going to continue, and he is going to talk in following paragraphs about different tactics they are using against us. So please. Okay.
The demons teach people to rise up against the practitioners of prayer, to judge them for their strange behavior and for their lack of useful work, denouncing them as lazy, hypocritical babblers. They ascribe to them evil and malicious intentions and sinful actions. They destroy and disturb their silence. They force them to various activities that are contrary to their way of life, activities that are united with diversions, scattered thoughts, and the destruction of the peace of the heart. Knowing the source of these temptations, let us pray for our neighbors as the gospel commands and as the Holy Fathers instruct, for they sin in ignorance, being led to it by others. These traps of the devil will be destroyed by God.
Yeah. It would, probably would be useful to remind or recall that what was in previous paragraph, because this was our first tactic of demons to attack ourselves, and this first tactic is that they attack us by physical disease, by poverty, by the lack of attention, lack of help from others, etc. So it means that one tactic is that they really somehow cause real difficulties in our life. And you might have the same experience that what he wrote in this previous paragraph, that, well, you are trying to pray hard, you are trying to keep this prayer alive, and you have this experience that something, everything somehow turning wrong, that you have expectation, if I start this life of prayer and dedication to prayer, that now I usually we expect peace, we expect like good environment in our soul, somehow excitement, joy, harmony and so on. Instead of that, we experience that, well, there is broken car, you know, which we have to fix. We have all kinds of difficulties. Even sometimes we have this non-expected, you know, expenses, which cause us to start to think how to arrange our life to cover that. And so many of these things which come from outside, they really, if we look correctly at this, so these are things which wants to take us away from prayer, and many, many times they, those things do, because we are still like avalanche of these problems, and we try to deal with that, and we get distracted, and the first things what we are doing, we are leaving our prayer room. It seems like natural for us, because we say, well, I cannot pray because my mind is connected with all these problems. So in very shortly, this first tactic. Now, the second tactic is what they use, comes from other people. And it doesn't need to be that there's somebody is nasty towards us. They just comment on our activity strangely. And they say, well, you are wasting your time. You should do this or this. You are just lazy because you spend so much time doing nothing. You know, and those are things are painful, because we feel that, well, or there's like this feeling that they are right, that we are lazy, that we should do something. And especially in our time, when even in the church, like the spiritual life many times is measured by activity. That how much we do for church, for God, how much we are involved in different activities or various activities in charity or doing things, helping others. And then we feel this pressure or this expectation from world, you know, that we should do something. And then when we go to pray, we are, it seems that we are missing something. You know, even like, you know, many times when we come to the church, if you notice that on Sunday, many people, they come early, but stay, they don't come to the church, they stay and they talk to the others, and, you know, well, I understand this. This is how they show this Christian spirit, to be interested in, to ask of others, you know, to show love to the others. It's not, I am not judging that, you know, I think this genuine, like, expression of my Christian life, that well, I am somehow showing my attention to the others. And, but look, it's so difficult then just to go to church and to pray in silence as a preparation for the liturgy. It's difficult because if I go there and if this is in my mind, that these settings are in my mind, that I should be open to the others and to friendly to others and to love others, it can become a barrier for me. I could feel not comfortable that I just briefly say hello and I go to church to pray. Sometimes it seems that, well, I'm like egoist, you know, that I don't want to have anything with the others. And it might be this one of these attacks of the evil one to give us to whisper to us these thoughts. And there are, and probably many people, they even don't think about this, they are thinking that they are doing good thing. And actually I was doing the same thing when I came, if you remember, first several years, and I was told that, well, I was taught, you know, that, well, you should somehow interact with people here because it's important, this culture and everything. So I was trying, so I was waiting in the lobby and was trying to say hello to everybody who came before liturgy. And there was time for the liturgy, so I went. And, well, but I never felt that it is right, you know. But, well, I said, well, if it is this, so I have to adjust to this, you know. And my feeling was that I am doing correct thing, you know, showing somehow all my love. But then I realized it was wrong. So it's better if I pray for people before liturgy in the church than to just to have these talks.
It is interesting what you were saying, because Gaudir Kaopa, when he went on three runs, I believe, to run from communists, and one of these runs he had a dream where he saw Satan and his all underlings, and he gave them a challenge, and Satan says, whoever gives me the best way to attack or skew human beings to fall for me, then he can sit on his throne for one day. So there was one underling, he said something, I was like, that's not good enough. Second one, and then the third one, he said, what I do is I tell people that there's enough time. He says that there is enough time to repent and do good later. Don't be fooled to start now.
Yeah.
And through this, he says, I get many thousands and millions of people just to fall for me, because every day they just push it for another day. They don't start. Well, now he's saying about repentance, but I think we can look at this at the, as a whole. You know, anything for Christ can be postponed, and that's He's doing. So that, I mean, I think this fits pretty well into this this chapter. That it is a challenge that we have to fight.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that reminds me of my daily, what I get into some days. I have a certain thing I do at a certain time, all in the morning. And I wake up and I take care of my dog and I sit down and I say a rosary and I say my morning prayers and some other prayers, special prayers that I want to say. But sometimes I'll say the rosary and I'll think, well, I'll do this first and then I'll come back to the morning prayer. And then after I've done that, then something else comes up. First thing you know, it's noontime and I haven't said morning prayers yet. And then I think, well, what's the sense in saying morning prayers now? It's not morning anymore. And I get mad at myself because I've done it, but it's so easy to do.
Yeah, sure.
A little bit like one of the sermons you gave during this pandemic, how easy it was not to go to church. And a lot of people, yeah, fall into that habit after you've done it for, you know, you go to church, then all of a sudden it's like, well, you don't go, well, all right, then I'll go to church maybe next week or 2 weeks from now. Or, and it just gets just too much of a temptation to get out there and get lazy about your religious life, going to church. And with this pandemic shutting down churches, it really tested a lot of people going like, you know, okay, yeah, I couldn't make it physically at church, but fortunately through media, we were able to still attend. But how many did, how many didn't, is real, you know.
Oh, media, there is a really advantage to media, you know, that they, you know, it's great. I think that people, you know, you can mute if you don't like sermon.
well, you
can forward, you know, like, what's going on? Okay.
Well, if you get bored, put it on closed caption.
No, don't do this.
You said Pope of Rome, it's called Papa Roma.
I think that if you try to do this, so you can see that my English gives really challenge to this technology. But no, this one thing, and well, another thing is that somehow many times we have this problem, this ethics comes through. Look, there is always, we have to learn to be wise, because many times we want to be good Christians, to give, really, to show love. And many times, you know, we have this, our conscience tells us that we are neglecting somebody. You know, it's really, I remember one couple, you know, they told me their story that this man, husband, well, he always gave a company to his wife, doing, well, something she liked to do. I am not going to that details. I would need to explain a lot of. So he was spending time with her, always like to be for her there, to spend time. But he knew that it is taking away his time. So he said, but well, I told always myself, I have to bring this sacrifice because I should not be egoist. Because I have to show, I'm showing love to her, my support in this her activity. But well, by years he was somehow growing, inside of him was growing some of this bad thoughts, and he started to be nervous a little bit because he realized that he's missing something. He it was wasting time for him. And once he had enough, and he said, "Look, I am not going to do it with you anymore. I am wasting my time. I want to do some well else." And she told him, "Why did you tell me that before? I am doing that because of you, because I thought that you like this." You know that, but this story says something that many times we going like towards our neighbors because we want to show love, and we neglect, it brings this neglect, we are wasting time we would use for prayer. How many times we have this feeling that it might be that I feel my soul that I should go and to pray, but many times this desire is removed by this some kind of feeling of duty that I must show love to my neighbor. You know, maybe relatives, friends, the reason to spend time with them. And many times it is just false understanding of the situation. Many times, even for these our neighbors would be, they would prefer that we are, that we would let them to be alone too. It's difficult to make decisions in this because we have to sometimes, we have to make like very wise discernment of the situation. But even in this, or like for this attack here we were talking about, which comes from not direct, sometimes directly from other people, or it comes not directly that we feel this obligation to somehow be with them. What is good medicine is to be egoist. I think I said it like last Sunday or Sunday before that there's only one good egoism when you take care of your soul. When you are egoist, somehow that in approach to your soul, it is good egoism. Because if you work on your salvation, and this is like your primary goal, it might look at first that, well, you are like skipping some kind of duties, you know, you are not available for others all time. But in the end, this your egoism, this your growth in spiritual life, this in relation with God, and reaches other people more than this wasting time with them. Does it make sense? That those saints, you know, we mentioned many of them, like even like Brianche, you know, look, he was bishop for many years, but then he became egoist. He looked to his soul and he said, okay, I need to take care of my soul. And he went to seclusion, to monastery. And during the time when he was in monastery, he wrote in the short time, actually, he spent the end of his life, he wrote all these his books, which now really help many people. They are changed, his teaching changes people, many people. And this fruit would not come if he doesn't become this egoist. It means if he would not make decision, this radical decision to really dedicate these last years of his life only to his soul. Well, it was his vocation, but we know other saints who really were in this way egoists. And they decided for this life in seclusion, in solitude. And but now, well, their lives changed, life of thousands. 10,000 people. They choose influence. We cannot give to the others what we don't have. We want to enrich people, life of others. At first we have to have something what we can give them. And this comes through, actually, this to have something, to receive these gifts from God, this maturity of our spiritual life can ripe only in this environment of prayer. So if we are taken away from that, we don't have access to these gifts. Does it make sense, this? All right. So let's look at another tactic.
Okay. Tempting us from without, the demons also attack us within. When we go into seclusion, we begin to exercise prayer. They immediately inspire in us various sinful desires that we never experienced before. They worry our heart with countless sinful thoughts and imaginings, which until this moment never even occurred to us. They do this with a definite purpose, to bring us into confusion and despair when we do not see any purpose in our labor of prayer and solitude, and to convince us to stop our ascesis. To the inexperienced ascetics, these actions of the demon seem to be natural inclinations of the soul itself. Our invisible and cunning enemies do us evil and simultaneously try to hide themselves so that their victim will lose all hope of becoming untangled from their snares, so that his despair and perdition will become inevitable.
All right, so he goes from those attacks or these tactics which comes from outside. He talks now about this attacks which comes from inside of us. And what he means, well, it is clearly, he said clearly, it is this state of our soul when we pray. And we have to realize some kind of spiritual law that we experience difficulties when we start to work on our soul, on our spiritual life. There is what is very common, for example, and you can test it very fast, is that, for example, one of these ascetical tools is what we should do is to test our thoughts, to examine them, if they are good or bad, and to remove those who are bad, and to keep those who are good. And when we start to do this, when we remember this work we are supposed to do, we have immediately this experience that we are surprised how many bad thoughts we have. And more we start to fight against them, the more the thoughts are coming and we are seeing them. And after, like, I would say after like even like 20 minutes, you are already tired, you know, because of, and then you ask, why is that? When I was not doing this exercise, I was fine. There was no fight. And it might be that for a long time we didn't have this some kind of bad thoughts. But immediately we start, you know, we experience how many thoughts, bad thoughts are attacking our heart, our mind, and so we are surprised. So the same thing is, and this spiritual law you can apply to each activity in spiritual life. Be sure, like, if you make decision that to really to keep your prayer rule and to dedicate time to prayer, you cannot expect that this will be without fight. Actually, when you make this decision, you are declaring war to your invisible enemy, and you can feel that he fights back immediately. And Brancino says that, well, what he does, he brings our soul to chaos, hopelessness. We stop to see somehow purpose, meaning of this, our work of prayer. It seems like it doesn't work, you know, why should I do this, you know? And very easily we can even come to conclusion that, well, there is no hope for us, we are so bad because of all these thoughts which we have. So one thing is that we have to remember this tactic, and we have to remember that we can have this experience during prayer, that from inside all these thoughts can come, which would the purpose, and the purpose they have is to really take us away from our prayer. And how many times it happens that you are doing your morning prayers or other prayers, and actually there are times, many times, that you feel that your heart is in so bad some kind of shape, you know, I mean, this chaos, distracted, that you close in the middle. I said, that's it, I cannot pray to now, you know, that we gave up. What is somehow natural, because we want to see fruit of this our activity. We want to see that this prayer works, that this prayer gives us strength, and so that we are going even like down. So he said, well, we should not be surprised when we experience something like that. There is we have in our library this selection, these four or five books, Evergetinos. These four, they're like a collection of sayings of saints and stories from their life. There are like different chapters, and each chapter touches different like theme. And one story is about one monk who came to an elder, and actually this story gives us like advice what to do at the time. And this monk asked that, Father, what I'm supposed to do? There are so many thoughts which attacks me during prayer, and I don't know how to protect myself against them. And this elder told him that, well, he said, don't fight against all of them in once. Find out who is the leader of the thoughts, who is commander of these thoughts. When you find out, fight against him. And if you keep him in order, in distance, the other disappear. I think this is good advice, you know, like in this time when we are our heart in chaos, that we say, well, I cannot pray well because there are so many thoughts which tells me that how miserable I am, and how I cannot pray, and etc. And at the time, maybe it should be good to pause for a moment and to find out this commander. And usually it is, we can find it easily. Many times it's our pride that we want to pray well, and we think that it is in our power. This is our pride, or there is, it might be even like our desire to reach something, that we are giving some kind of request to God, and we want to, well, we want fulfillment of this request. And so it is some kind of like, well, it is piece of pride there too, but sometimes like, I don't know right word for that, for this state that I feel so confident that if
selfish.
I pray, yeah, something like that. But well, I have to find out what is motivation, what is behind it, or what causes that I am in this disturbance, and to really to find the main root, and then to stand against this root, you know. If it is like pride, then it's fine. That, so then I have to humble myself, and usually it helps them. So prayer time, it is time of war, and we should not be afraid of to sometimes to pause and to really name the problem we are experiencing with prayer during the time. You know, but it should not be all time. You know, if you find, actually, if we make this preparation for prayer as we were learning from Briancha, you know, before, usually we would be fine. I think these attacks usually comes when we don't pay too much attention to preparation for prayer. But still, even if you make preparation, these attacks are possible, and we have to be ready for them. We should not be surprised. We should not be like, oh, what is going to us, what is going on now, you know. This is why we are studying that, to know the things, to be wise. Questions or comments? John, you wanted to say something? And I
think you answered the question already. I was wondering, you said bad thoughts. What did you mean by bad thoughts? Just thoughts that get you away from your prayers, or maybe angry thoughts against somebody you know? But I think it's anything that gets you away from prayer.
Well, bad thoughts are all thoughts which are in opposition to that life which is somehow shown through commandments. You know, that, for example, many times we have this like, and first, like, well, some kind of innocent thoughts. For example, I would say that we think that, well, that we are worried about our future, or we want to arrange things, you know, to get ready for some kind of thing which we can encounter in future. It is true that like for older people there's like a huge danger, spiritual danger, is that they somehow want to be sure to have enough, I would say, means for life. Like this is like, it's a really, this like huge temptation. And there's explanation that you have people who go to casinos, you know, or they buy tickets for
lottery,
yeah. And it's a majority is older people, because there is this notion that they want to be secure somehow, because they feel that they cannot work, as they don't have power to work more, and they depend on some kind of fixed income. And so there is this danger. And now the thought that I'm trying to somehow think how to secure my life, I can spend a lot of time thinking this. And now, when I am testing my thoughts, and I come upon this, I ask, well, it is good thought or bad thought? You know, it is good or bad? And then I can really find out that it's against gospel commandments, because Christ told us, don't worry what are going to eat, what are going to dress, or clothe. Don't worry about that. You know, that through these things, we are showing that we don't trust in God's providence. Again, I am not saying that we should be like not responsible, like that you can get your pension and you're spending one day and say, well, tomorrow God will take care of me. No, that is not this way. You know what I mean? It is like to spend time in this not useful meditation over the situation. So I always have to think about my thoughts and to say, what did thoughts tells about my inner state? What they reveal to me? And if we are talking about these bad thoughts, it's not many times we just really think that bad thoughts are those who are really bad, you know, really hardcore, you know, that about killing, about like hitting somebody, about, you know, not really, those are rare. Many times there are these simple thoughts which are taking us away in not clearly way from God, and they create some kind of way of life which is very distant from what gospel teaches us to do. So God's commandments, gospel, is criterion how to judge our thoughts. You know?
When I'm thinking those thoughts, I'm not realizing it, that I'm thinking them. I'm saying the prayers. I even try to say the prayers out loud so I can keep my mind on them. And all of a sudden I'm done with the prayer and I've been thinking about something else. And there, it's not even anything important or got plans or anything. I just thinking about something else.
Yeah. Yeah, so we didn't make huge progress today.
Yes, we did. We're here.
Thank you for coming. And we'll continue. But I think that this was a lot of good things was said today. And probably we knew all of this. Somehow we heard, but it's good to remind ourselves to ourselves this wisdom. And again, when, if you remember, 2 years ago, when we were talking, we were reading this chapter about reading, when he taught us how to read, and he reminded us, Grand Channel, that how important it is, this spiritual reading, to do it every day, something, because it returns us back to some kind of correct track. And many times, you know, it's the repetition of the same advices, but many times we read something, some kind of advice in different words, but it hits us with that intensity that it didn't hit us before. So it was good for us to remind those things to us. Okay.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please share it with those who might like to be enriched by this teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius. If you live in our area, we would love if you could join us for our study in person on Monday nights at 7 p.m. at St. Nicholas Byzantine Catholic Church in Barberton, Ohio. Thank you and God bless.